suicide pact. I'm going to be able to kill that song right now. Now, hello and welcome to Bunta Vista. This is a bonus episode. I am Ben, and I'm here having a lovely day at the beach. Meniscus, archive, perihelion. Everyone's having a nice time soaking up some sun and splashing about in the water. November, arbitrage, sequoia. With me, getting tossed about in the waves, indigo, bolus, murmuration, is my good friend Theo. Hi, Theo.
Hey. Mamingo. It's really hard to come up with code words all of a sudden.
I mean, you would have thought you would have been able to come up with like one word.
One, no.
Think of a word.
Computer, monitor, MIDI controller.
I just wish that we had the technology to see like a really granular thought process of what got you to Mamingo. Surely some crossed wires in there.
I don't think so.
Also, Cyprus, Lineal, Arclight with me, Cataphract, Chiral, Neptune, Catching a Big Wave, Indent, Cartographer, Hibernia. It's Andrew. Hi, Callista, Fathom, Portrait, Andrew.
Hey, what's up, Delta, hey. Tangerine, Isosceles, kill the president, kill the president.
Biden.
It is hot out today.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Yeah. Woo. You're going to want to stay in the shade.
Yeah,
I'd rather be indoors cleaning my gun.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's more sun safe for you to assemble the gizmo. Kill Joe Biden. Fine. Joe Biden. That's all this podcast is now, by the way. Just letting you, the listener, know.
Yeah.
We found the thing that makes us laugh, and now
found niche.
It's going to be the next.
We also focus tested it, and the responses were very positive. So
yeah, I think one of the few people we respect said that they liked it. So two of the few people we respect said specifically that they liked it.
And a whole bunch of people that we don't respect as well.
Well, yeah,
so
we've got to
take that in balance.
If your podcaster friends tell you they liked something on your podcast, your response should be wow, you actually do listen to it when you're not on it. Mm-hmm. This is a really nice surprise. Mm-hmm. And B, thank you. We're on to something.
And C, we will do 800% more of it.
Yeah, don't reward us.
It'll be the whole show now.
Until Lazio comes knocking, and then we'll probably bring it down a notch.
Yeah, just
we're just finding our level.
Yeah, you got to let things find their natural groove. You know, you wouldn't have told the Beatles not to do all their early stuff until they got to the, you know, the good stuff later on.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what I think? You know why I think people are responding is because, like, you know how you ever hear of like activated almonds and you think that probably feels great for the almonds
to be activated?
Yeah. Wouldn't we all like to be activated?
I'd love to be activated.
And it turns out we would.
Yeah.
It turns out maybe two thirds of our listeners would like to be activated like a Manchurian candidate.
Yeah. It's like, you know? It's almost a nice way to rationalize where you are in your life right now. You'd be like, man, it just feels like I don't really have any achievements or skills. But what if it turns out you are actually unbelievably skilled?
You have a very particular set of skills and you're just waiting for someone to say the right words.
Yes.
And spur when
I was a uni
you
into
student, action.
I was activating myself four times a day.
Yeah, it's not good for you.
No. Don't respond to every activation.
It's not good for the skin, I don't think.
Don't come in here. I'm activating.
Tear something.
It gets real sore. Hey, if I wasn't sure how many times to activate yourself a day was healthy, there is one woman that I think that I would ask. Even though she's not here, it's time for Paging Dr. Lucy.
If you find that you are having a little relationship trouble, just to pick up your telephone and dial it on the double. Call 1-800-317-5155. Now you're paging Dr. Lucy.
Yeah, Lucy's absent because she's getting her sinuses caught out.
Yeah.
She's seen a doctor of her own.
Drilled out.
She has seen a series of doctors, each more serious than the last.
And she...
My favorite part was that it made her bleed from the eyes, but not just a little bit, like a lot.
Like heaps.
Like
she went double Le Chiffre. It's no good.
Like her eyes, like scabbing up and being unable to open seems like a legitimate thing that might happen.
Yeah. I didn't really know that that's a thing that happened. I did enjoy the experience of being like, oh, I just got an update from Lucy, and then showing my phone to Maddie and it's Lucy's eyes bleeding.
And look, it's the kind of thing where, of course, I had never really thought about that and nobody had ever shown me a photo like that on their phone before. Yeah. But when you stop to think about it for a minute, it makes sense, you know, like your sinuses and your tear ducts and your ears.
The
all
blood
that jazz,
makes sense.
It's all connected. Connected. It's all connected.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you were to get in there with like, you know, a cylindrical microplane like you would find in a high-end kitchen.
Is that what's happening?
No, I think it's way worse. I think it's way worse than that.
I think it's like a 13mm spade bit. And they're just going crazy up there.
You know those infomercials they have where like they've got like a thing that they put down the drain that can bend and go around the S-band and like drill out all the... Yeah, I think it was that.
Drain snake, yeah.
It's kind of that happening to her.
They drain snaked our friend.
They're pigging her out.
Yeah.
So she feels great and she looks even better than before, if you can believe that. So don't worry.
She sent us so many selfies and then followed nearly all of them up with, I'm on fentanyl, by the way. Oh, man, that's dusty. I also just scrolled up far enough to get to the photo where you used content aware fill to Photoshop out the bandage that's under her nose. Oh, that is a...
haunting stuff.
It kind of makes her look like a Who from the Ron Howard Grinch movie a little bit, but with third eye.
Or Henry Cavill from Superman.
With his moustache removed. Or like Ron Perlman from The World that we live in.
Yes.
Yes.
Just from reality.
Yeah, I know Ron
Just
Perlman.
His face. Yeah, we are big Ron Perlman lovers on this show. You don't have to do a lot of stuff to him.
No.
You know, for him to look interesting. He is an interesting looking cat.
Love looking at him.
What about when they did make him look like a big cat for that Beauty and the Beast TV show, huh?
Yeah, I never watched that. I just feel like I've seen the cover of it at like video stores a lot when I was a kid. It weirded me out. It's not right.
The what?
You know, Ron Perlman, Beauty and the Beast? Oh, you gotta DuckDuckGo images Ron Perlman, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They put the makeup on him and you're just like, I guess they just slapped a wig on him. You know? And then you go,
Oh, he's a whole ass cat.
Yeah.
With Linda Hamilton?
Do you remember that lady that got the plastic surgery to look like a bobcat?
Yeah.
You know, bobcat lady? You guys familiar with the bobcat lady? No, plastic surgery bobcat lady.
What?
My friend and yours, the bobcat lady.
Jocelyn Wildenstein. Wildenstein, perhaps. Anyway, he looks like that.
Okay, I'm looking at some pictures of bobcats instead.
Yeah.
Got to check this out.
They're crazy.
All right, we'll come back to you in 25 minutes, Theo.
Just cool looking pictures.
Yeah. Man, great font in the Beauty of the Beast live action series with Ron Perlman.
My goodness.
Hey, this comes to us from r/relationship advice. My 38F friend, 40F, overstays their welcome. How do I tell her to go home without hurting her?
Tango, juniper, elderberry, eliminate your friend.
Stands up, starts walking out the door.
Look, if she's out there killing Joe Biden, she's not in your house eating all your shit.
That's true. That's
correct.
Try activating your friends. It makes them feel useful.
Just pick three words. It's kind of that easy. You might loop around to it. Making up three words on the spot, how hard can it be?
If your friend is coming over and overstaying their welcome, that gives you a fair bit of time to try like brute force hacking their activation phrases.
Yeah, just
I
like
mean,
every
what else
time.
Are you gonna do?
Just well, slip a little one into every sentence.
Yeah.
Could I get you another cup of tea? Augmentation, ruby, tertiary.
Now this has a great double effect because there is the potential for you to A, activate your friend and find out who their target is. Which is going to be just as much of a surprise for you as it is for them. Yes. Daryl Summers, I never would have thought. Well, someone programmed you ages ago.
Well earned. Daryl Summers, I will kill you.
So you do get to find that out. And also, if you're not having success with it, but they are overstaying their welcome, there is a high likelihood it will make them very uncomfortable and get them to fuck off and leave your house.
Yeah, it's probably pretty alienating. It would be so alienating if you were trying to listen to some people talk and they just kept yelling out nonsense three-word phrases at you. That'd be strange.
Talk until it works, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to have my friend over at my house anymore.
Done.
I have a friend who I've been friends with for years. We usually either catch up at a cafe / restaurant or at my house, brackets, I've never been invited to hers.
You're not real friends, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's got to be mooch. That's got to be mooch at some point.
Where's the mooch?
Where's the mooch?
We've got to figure out how to spell that so we can put it on a shirt.
Yeah, I think I was got in my head, I'm like a U with an umlaut and then TCH.
The mooch.
Mooch.
Hey.
MJ.
Where's the
UTCH?
Where is the mooch?
The mooch. The problem is when she comes over to mine for lunch and she doesn't leave. She comes over at 11 to 11:30 and will be there for over 10 hours.
That is too long.
This rocks. She is so ready to hang out.
Yeah, which is, the impulse is nice.
Yeah. Hey, I was thinking we could, you want to chuck on a movie while we have lunch? I was thinking Showa.
We should watch Sling Blade.
Five times.
You know, when you say, let's watch a movie, and your friend comes around with, like, the four extended versions of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, that you are in trouble.
Yeah.
It's got both VHSs of The Stand.
I figured what we could do is watch all of the extended versions of the Lord of the Rings, and then we straight back to back, while it's fresh in our minds, we watch the theatrical releases.
Yeah.
And we just kind of call out where we see the differences. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, compare and contrast. Yeah.
That'd be fun. Just a cheeky 18 hours of movies.
Oh my God. Aima didn't notice that the forest is moving. Yep. This is worth it.
Have you got that on your sheet too?
Around 4 p.m., I start dropping the hints because I don't want to be rude, such as cleaning up, saying it's starting to get late, stop serving coffee, removing any snacks, yawning, looking at the clock, but nothing works.
Ah, 4 p.m. Time to hit the hay.
You've done a classic blunder there. A few of these are time appropriate. They're like stopping, putting out the coffee and removing the snacks. Yawning and looking at the clock don't... It doesn't really make sense at four.
Are you planning to go to bed?
Oh, I'm bushed. What a day, huh? Time to retire.
Can I share something with you guys? It's going to sound like I'm putting my beautiful wife on blast, but I'm not.
Go right ahead.
I'm not.
Though.
I'm merely sharing a thing that used to happen. It doesn't happen anymore, which is why it's fine to talk about. Something that my wonderful wife Elna used to do is she would invite people around, like for a dinner or whatever. And in fairness, you know, we had younger children then, but it would get to like 9:30, 10 p.m. With other people around at our house, and she would just stand up and say, "Well, I gotta go to bed," and walk out of the room.
Yeah,
oh, I'd do that.
That's a Caitlin-ass thing to do.
I think one partner is allowed to do that.
And I'm just left there with like her friends that she invited over.
I think only because I've been the person that does this, I think there is like an element of it being acceptable because it's a really strong signal to the other, to those people that like maybe we should be wrapping this up.
Maybe so it like is late. If 50% of the people who invited us over are going to sleep... Maybe it is really late.
Yeah. You know? I mostly did this when I was in a relationship with George because George also is just like the complete opposite of the person that I am in that like it hits 10 o'clock and I'm like, I don't want to talk to anyone anymore. Where George is like, all right, it's a Tuesday night. I've had two glasses of wine.
Yeah.
I could keep this going till about 4 a.m. maybe. Let's see
what
how
can I get away with? I mean, physically.
Yeah.
I've just always had a much
sleep don't I need.
Yeah.
Well, I've always just had a much later bedtime than Eleanor, although I am suddenly hitting the age where that's starting to be trouble for me.
I was
in bed last night. I had been reading my book for a while, and then I looked at the clock and it was like 9:45. And I went, wow, how good is this?
What happened to the guy that used to watch like 4 movies before he went to bed, but after the kids had gone to bed?
Well, reading a book is a sleepy time. Reading a book is a sleepy time activity.
Now, bro.
Yeah. Makes your little eyes tired. Puts little bags of money on your eyelids.
Oh, I'm trying to go normal mode. I've been having a really stressful couple of months.
Are you regular pilled?
Been having a really stressful couple of months, and this week I like got up in the morning before work, and I'd bought like a stationary bike trainer, and I just went out and did bike for a while, out in the -1, and then later on, and I was like in a much better mood all day, and I was like, I hate it when it's true. I hate it when it's true.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks so bad.
I've been doing that all week. I've been fucking on the bike. I've been walking up the big hill behind the house. I've been eating regular style. I've been going to bed single digits. It's good stuff.
Here's the thing. Everyone knows that exercise makes your life better.
Yes.
We just don't want to do it. It's hard.
It's hard.
It's so hard to do anything.
Yeah.
Have you guys noticed how hard it is to do things?
When it gets easy, you actually have to start doing more of it until it gets hard again. If it isn't hard, it's not working. So what the fuck? She'll ask what I'm doing for dinner, to which I'll reply, I don't know.
Something else, I'll say. Something else. I have plans with all my other friends.
Man, yeah.
I haven't been able to organize anything. I was going to cook ABC, however, it's too late now. Or, good question. I haven't been able to focus on that. That last one, that's a little too catty for me. That's a step too far. The rest of them should have stuck. That one being like, no, you've actually been distracting me all day, so I couldn't think about what I'm having for dinner.
I would have cooked, but there was a stupid bitch here.
There's an annoying friend here all day. This feels like a very, like, classic social dilemma, like, Seinfeld material kind of situation. But, like, by the age of 40, 38 and 40 respectively, both parties in this should have figured this the fuck out. Like, you have to know, as a grown adult, that, like, other than extenuating circumstances, which are usually telegraphed in some way, you have the hard time limit of what that particular social event is. If someone invites you around for lunch, you got a couple of hours. Someone invites you around, or you go out for brunch, a couple of hours.
I got a really easy solution to this woman's problem, right?
Communicate?
Yes, that's the main one. And unfortunately, that one's reserved for like fucking adults who have developed in some way over the course of their adult life. If you cannot bring yourself to say, look, I got a whole bunch of stuff I got to do. You got to fuck off.
Yeah.
I got shit to do.
Hanging out with you.
It's been great hanging out. Time for you to rack off.
And that has finished now.
It is over. I have stuff to do.
Friends who truly love each other will respect the other friend when they say, for real though, you got to skedaddle. Yeah. You know? However, if you're not willing to do that, when your friend says, I want to come around, will you have me around? I don't know why the fuck, like, I've never been invited to her house, but she invites herself to my house all the time. What the fuck is going on there? Like, make up a thing that you have a hard out for.
Yeah, say, just lie.
If she's
just
like,
lie.
I want to come over for lunch, you go, for sure, I have a physio appointment at 2:30.
Yeah.
I got to be out of my house by 2. Is that cool? And if she says no, you go, fucking forget about lunch then, Rachel. You bitch.
Yeah, I'm getting my shit stretched at 2:15. Takes me 15 minutes to get there. Get out.
Rachel, please understand. I have to leave the house.
I think there is a slight like onus on you as well as the guest to try and sort of, if you're ambiguous about what the limits are, probe for them, by offering to leave, by making sort of murmurings that it's time for you to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the host, so if you get to like 2:30, you've had a great lunch and you're like, well, I guess I should get out of your hair. That's a little probe. That's a little test.
Yes.
The host can either be like, yeah, I've got all this stuff I have to do. Bam, sorted. Or they're like, why do you stick around? You know what? I got a crazy recipe for a mezcal Negroni. Why don't we have a couple of those, hang out on the patio and listen to some 90s hip hop? And they'll be like, you know what? I was lying about having stuff to do. Let's do it. mezcal Negronis. Let's go crazy.
Okay. So as clearly we're all students of the social sciences here. That's what I understand.
Yeah. We are all very well adjusted of the social situation.
So have you guys been in a situation where you've got like a group of people around, right? This happened to us recently, right? We had people over, some friends from Elna's job. If you're listening to this right now, this is a complimentary story. Don't panic, okay? Had some lovely people around, friends that Elna has made from work, and they're lovely partners, right? But it's a Friday. It's Friday night. After work, we've all been
different
working.
Different rules on Friday, I will say.
Yeah, we've been working both all week long and all the live long day, you know? Yes. So I'm going to say it's like 10:30 or something. I had been like attempting to fight a migraine all day and failing. I had taken everything that I could to it. I had like taken an inadvisable amount of painkillers and went to sleep for 30 minutes in a dark room. All that kind of stuff. I got up and was like, finally, that's done it. And then 20 minutes later, I'm like, So at some point in the evening, I was like, oh man, I'm struggling a bit, you know, of, like 10:30, I've said, man, normally it's Eleanor who's running off to bed, but I'm feeling pretty crushed. And everybody in unison kind of goes, oh yeah, I am fucked. Let's wrap it up.
It's time to like mosey
collectively
on.
And so I think there are some times when everybody is like laboring under this false delusion that we all need to keep collectively like trying to maintain the energy, when really everyone would like to go home and go to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need that first domino to
little
go
tap. All it needs is someone to make the noise where you just go it's like that little note of finality.
Pressure valve.
And then everybody else goes,
I do feel like that. You're right.
This is essentially, as I always do, I'm spruiking for you to stop listening to this podcast and start listening to Are Ya Dude. There was just in a recent episode where one of the two hosts was telling a story about how he recently DJed at a house party after like hadn't DJed in a live setting in like a really long time, and this was like his big comeback to him where he's like, I'm going to do this. And then he ended up getting like playing way later than he thought, sort of fumbling it and then really ruining the vibe. And then every single person at the party deciding at the same time that that was the cue to leave and go home.
Oh,
and he's telling this story as if like this is the worst thing that's ever happened to him. Because he absolutely ruined the vibe at the house party. But I'm a little bit of the mind that was a situation where everybody was waiting for to not be like the boring person that's going home early. They wanted that excuse.
Maybe yeah. you
and
maybe
then Tree
you
Fingers
gave...
comes on. You're like, you know what?
DJ clear the floor. It's just gotten everyone. Like... Yeah.
Maybe you gave a bunch of 37-year-olds the greatest gift of all.
Yeah, the blessing to like go home.
Yeah. 7 hours sleep.
Yeah.
You broke the spell, you know. Yeah. You broke the spell.
I used to hate leaving early from like I'm not really going to house parties, but like big social gatherings and stuff. And now it's just great. You don't even have to like make up an excuse or anything. You just be like, you know what? I'm tired. I'm going.
I'm done. I am done.
Okay, great. Well, see you soon. Yeah, you will. Bye.
How good's packing it in?
Oh,
packing it in feels
it's like
good.
It's like when I imparted the wisdom to Eleanor at some point during our relationship that when you're leaving a party or whatever, You don't have to tell everyone you're going.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit.
No one fucking cares.
No one cares.
Yeah.
Like, it was a wedding. It was a wedding and might have even been her old best friend's wedding.
Yeah.
It would take so long at a wedding to say goodbye to everyone. She was like,
I got to find her and say goodbye. And I was like, Do you?
Like, everybody at that wedding is just waiting to go to their motel room and get fingered.
Yeah.
Well, there's that. Because
they can't
also,
do anything else.
Yeah.
But also, I was like, how much effort are you going to put into going to tell this person that you're leaving and for them to go, oh, don't go, drunkenly, you know, oh, don't go.
What if 20 people say to you, we'll have one more drink? That's 20 more drinks.
That's 20 drinks. That's so many drinks, dude.
It's too many. Also, you kind of have to think of like the inverse of that. Are you expecting everyone else that's at the party that knows you to personally say goodbye to you before they go? That's fucking stupid. You wouldn't expect that of everyone. You wouldn't expect that of most people. No, I think you should say goodbye to the bride and groom if they're not fingering each other. I think that's polite.
Yeah. And that comes later. If they're here, they're not fingering each other.
Mm. Well, they might. Who knows?
Yeah. We left early.
To finger.
From our window wedding. Yeah. It's a bonus episode, right? Yeah. There we go.
Where do you reckon we're up to in this two-paragraph Reddit post?
About halfway through. I've always believed if you're invited for lunch, you should leave before the next meal period. Yes.
Yep.
Unless, as I've said, you've done... This is like a pretty basic social 101. You've done a feigned indication to exit. But, you know, that you will abide by if they accept it. If they have not accepted it, then you stay. Otherwise, get out of there. It's 3 o'clock. They got to start thinking about dinner. And they're going to be distracted by you talking incessantly.
You've got ironing to do.
Can I put a caveat on this? And also, you're like fucking up the recipe because you're like, do I need to cook enough for this motherfucker?
Yeah.
Are they still going to be here?
Plus, I'm going to put
you can't be including a lunch guest in your dinner plans unless they were like the most charismatic lunch guest of all time.
Well, I was going to say I'm putting a caveat on this, but it's only for like the next tier up of friendship. The tier that is so high that your head is brushing against the firmament.
Mm-hmm.
Like where you're so close and you've spent so much time together that you will regularly just spend the entire day and night together for no reason. It's not an occasion.
Doesn't take any social energy from you. You don't feel like you're putting on a face. You don't feel like it's work.
Yeah. You are just here. Maybe there's one reason, and that reason is amphetamines. Yes.
If you guys are doing a bunch of speed together.
Yeah. You wouldn't even notice the time going by.
No,
yeah.
You might want to kind of, I mean, you've been jamming for 6 hours now.
Just one bass guitar and a Casio keyboard.
You've been jamming. And also, when you have been doing a lot of amphetamines for like 6 to 10 hours, you're not that worried about the next meal.
No,
you're not really thinking about cooking dinner.
Hey, do you want to kick on? Absolutely. I'm not even hungry right now.
Do you want me to cook us a chicken carbonara or do you want me to keep playing this bass guitar? You keep playing that fucking bass guitar.
If you put that bass guitar down, I will kill you, Jupiter. We should. Muscat.
Come on, you can do it. A third one. Come on. Think of a third word.
That was
such a strong start. There
hey, we should think about dinner. I'm just talking about looking at... Oh, I
my hey, stonemason gavel. Okay. Freemason gavel?
Yeah. Stonemason.
Freemason.
Freemason?
Freestone
Mason. What's the little...
It is the Freemasons, you're right, Ben.
Yeah, okay.
The compass and they're scissoring.
Yeah.
They're fucking
they're scissoring, yeah.
It.
The compass
scissoring
is
compasses.
Kind of,
yeah.
Or about to scissor.
The compass du frottage.
So you're doing amphetamines with your friend and you say, we should really think about dinner, and you pop open your fridge and you say, would you prefer me to microwave this leftover chicken biryani or can I interest you in a sugar-free Red Bull?
Yeah.
What are you going for? You know? Sugar-free Red Bull every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For some reason, my mouth is dry. You know what'll sort that out? Energy drink. Nice little energy drink.
Every time ends with her commenting that I look tired and half asleep, but I am...
Damn, you look exhausted. Anyway,
you look like you could use a rest.
Your friend sucks. I am so sorry to say.
She has never invited you over. She stays for 10 hours. She will not leave. She's also telling you you look like an exhausted crone. She's telling you that you look like the Scarecrow from Batman Begins.
She will not see the light of heaven.
I don't want to... There is a small chance this woman is neurodivergent, hasn't understood the social rules of the situation, hasn't understood the implications of saying that you look tired, but she also might just be annoying. This could just be an annoying person. And if you are one of our listeners who has learned the social rules by rote and has never found them intuitive, this episode's for you.
Yeah.
The next day, I'm wiped. I don't drink, but it feels like a hangover. Plus, I can't do anything else on the same day. She takes it all. You might be neurodivergent as well.
Although, look, I'm just going to call you out here for stolen valor. If you don't drink, you don't know what a hangover feels like. You know? Don't pretend.
Yes.
Don't fucking pretend.
That's for us. That's our thing.
Oh, you're a little sleepy? You're rubbing at your eyes like Winnie the Pooh at 8:45 p.m.? And you think that's the same as a fucking brutal hangover where you can feel your liver throbbing? Is that what you're telling me?
Talk to me when you throw up tomorrow night's grilled burger into the storm train.
She's asked to come over 4 times this month, and I've dodged the question or met up elsewhere. I just can't do it anymore. I'm mentally drained after, and at the moment, my physical health isn't great either. How do I politely tell her no?
It doesn't have to be polite.
All of our answers to these questions are truthful, honest, and open communication. The Andrew approach here, I think, is actually the thing. Just lie to her. I have physio at 3:15.
I'm getting my shit stretched.
Stretched out.
You have two options. You have the brave God soldier option, which is that you say to your friend, dude, I fucking love hanging out with you for real. I love it when we catch up at a cafe / restaurant.
Yes.
I gotta be real though. When you come over, it is like hard to get you out of there. Like, why don't you come around for lunch? Or come around for dinner or whatever. But at a certain point, I'm going to say, I've got stuff to do. Like, I got to do my laundry. Like, you know, it's Sunday, starting the week. I got to do my laundry. I got to do my meal prep. You know, I'm in my cutting phase at the gym.
Yes.
You know, you got to respect that. So as long as it's cool with you, if I just flag for you that I got other stuff to do, and that'll be fucking cool. I would love to have you over as long as I can get you out of there by, let's say, you know, 2 o'clock. So I just got all this stuff banged up to do. Is that cool? If you're not willing to do that, if you are the cowardly, flea-bitten cur of your relationship, I got physio at 2:30. I got to leave my house at 2, and I want you to be on the outside of the door when I lock it.
I have to shower before I leave to go.
I need to take a nervous shit 15 minutes before I have my shower because my physio is hot and he makes me nervous.
And if I have the door closed, I can't do it. Just shoot straight back up me. I think the missing piece of this puzzle is she any fun to hang out with? Because it certainly sounds like no.
She does say that she likes hanging out with her. But they've been to cafes and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know, actually.
Because you don't have to hang out with people that you don't want to. Eventually, they will stop asking you. They will just say, hey, something's up.
I currently have to help my children navigate friendships with kids who are like pieces of shit, you know?
At no point does she actually say that she likes this person.
No. Imagine if the first paragraph of this had, like, she is a fucking barrel of laughs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, time my sides
so charismatic.
Hurt. Yeah. My face hurts from smiling because she's
got
so
the charisma.
Fucking funny.
She's charismatic.
She doesn't say that.
No. Control F charismatic. Zero results.
Zero results from anywhere, actually. No one has said charismatic.
The third option for you is that you say to your friend, fuck you, have me over to your house.
Yeah.
You've fourth been option over is to my you place. Fake your death.
My house is getting fumigated. We must do it at yours.
But again, this would require transparency and directness to say, you know what? I've had you over tons of times. You do the cooking and the dishes and shit for once. Have me over to your place. And if they won't do it, then you never have to deal with it again.
Yeah. There were ways in the social situation of flagging it's time for them to leave that aren't just like looking at the clock longingly, being like
yawning.
Oh, well, I'm going to start doing some other things. We should catch up again soon, though. That phrase means
this leave. Catching up has finished.
Yeah, this catch up is over. I'm making plans for the next one.
It is an ex hangout. Goodbye. Yeah.
This is a former hangout. It is no longer in existence.
The hangout has concluded.
You need to vacate the premises immediately.
You have 15 seconds to comply.
Hey, another way that you could flag that it's time for someone to leave your house is by nearly hitting them with a bullet. It's time for the clipping report. This is a long form one this time. This is from the Brattleboro Reformer in Brattleboro, Vermont.
Okay.
That's a Tolkien-ass name for a...
That's an incredible name for a newspaper. That is wonderful. Brattleboro man charged after gun discharged at local bar.
Oops.
Sure.
Classic American stuff.
Yeah. I wonder if there's nothing a twist. Nothing out of the usual.
A local man currently is prohibited from going into a local bar where his firearm went off.
The bar.
Lauren Supley, that is L-O-R-I-N, Lauren Supley, S-U-P-L-E-E.
Oh.
Lauren Supley pleaded not guilty Monday to reckless endangerment in Wyndham Superior Court Criminal Division. He told police the gun had accidentally discharged while he was going to the bathroom at the Tower Bar and Lounge on Elliott Street. According to an affidavit filed by the Brattleboro Police Department. Incidentally, this is a little bit of local color. The Tower Bar is tarot card themed. It's named after the Tower, the card from tarot. Yeah, and they do tarot card readings there like once a week or whatever. Let's have a look at the photos. It actually looks really nice.
Nice place. You know what? I'd just like to share something personal for a moment, if I could.
Oh, on this? Yes. Of course. It's a bonus episode.
I have been feeling, through no like deliberate action on my part, I've been feeling my heart open to concepts like tarot readings and crystals.
Yes. Great.
I think I would like to have my tarot read. I think I would like to feel a divine energy coursing through some semi-precious stones.
I think I've been on the record on this show and being that I'm pro tarot card because it is just a nice framework to you're given the social license to talk about problems in your life and how they're impacting you. And the other person, that interaction, the person that's doing your reading wants to talk to you about them. And we're not often given that ever. It's considered like really... It's considered very self-involved to just talk a lot about the stuff that you're struggling with and kind of like it feels like a waste of the other person's time. Tarot cards give you like a big chance to just be like, this is what I'm thinking about. This is what's occupying my mind. It's nice. Mm. And also crystals are cool.
Mm. Well, Elna and I were talking about this recently in the context of like, you know, therapeutic practices and stuff like that, where she was saying, you know, crystals are as real as anything else is as far as people believing they are doing something for them, you know? In the same way that, like, religion has a meaningful and profound effect on people because they believe it and they internalize the things that they are conceptualizing. And if you are charging your crystals in the moonlight and then saying to yourself, positive affirmation style, this is giving me an energy and a confidence and a power.
Yeah.
That's as... meaningful as any Tony Robbins motivational speech one could hope to hear.
It's also just nice to have little rituals. Rituals are really fucking nice. Mm-hmm.
Nice to believe in something, you know?
Rituals. Yeah.
So anyway, I'll let you know how I go with that.
Yeah, let us know about your crystal journey.
Yes.
Police received a report about the incident at about 11:22 p.m. Wednesday, May 8th. A staff member told police there was a male in the bathroom and he heard, quote, a loud bang that sounded like a gunshot.
Sounds like a gunshot.
He stated the male then exited the bathroom and left the building, according to the affidavit. Classic.
It's so cool to just, like, who among us?
Still doing up your belt. Power walking out of the venue.
Yeah. Who among us, if you were in the Tower Bar and Lounge on Elliott Street, and you maybe, is this a state, where are we?
We're in Vermont.
Vermont. Can you open carry in Vermont? I assume if you had a gun. Because, like,
know, actually,
I think open carry really gives people license for more fun affectations than like concealed carry does.
You can very much carry a gun all the time, whenever in Vermont.
Nice. So yeah, if you're in a concealed carry state, you basically have to be like a Reddit daily. What's the
everyday carry.
Everyday carry. You basically have to be a Reddit everyday carry guy in the sense that all of your shit has to be about being like compact and well hidden, but also you have to tell yourself that like you're actually really good at having, you know, a quick, clean, smooth draw just in case shit were to go down.
If the shit pops off, I'm going to be so ready. No one else in this grocery store knows, but I'm about to become a fucking operator if the shit pops off at this Piggly Wiggly.
If I'm in Vermont and it's just totally fucking chill to open carry all the time, I can start dressing like a cowboy if I want. I can have a leather holster with a Smith & Wesson six shooter in it, and I can go to the bar like that, which is crazy.
You can start dressing like that transitionary period after they started bringing gunpowder into Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And samurais started getting guns,
mm-hmm.
but you still got a cool ass sword.
Yeah,
you still super respectful to your daimyo. That's for sure.
Yeah, goes without saying.
The Vermont gun samurai. You're sort of like a local character where people are like, oh, have you? This is. I feel like I've seen him a couple of times recently. There's this guy who's specifically dressing in period clothing of the transitionary period where. Gunpowder became widespread in Japan. And so he was wearing the traditional swords of feudal Japan with Western firearms.
Yes. He's got close range covered. He's got mid range covered.
Yes.
Long range, he can get closer until someone's at mid range.
Or run away.
So many options.
To come back and fight from closer range another day.
And of course, you will eventually gain a reputation where perhaps some people are traveling through the town and they see you and one of them makes a joke and a local says, yeah, I remember what happened to the last guy who joked about the Vermont gun samurai.
Yeah.
Maybe keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe stow it if you know what's good for you. You know? You don't want to find out what happens in the bathroom of the Tower Bar and Lounge, Vermont.
Okay? You don't want to face the blade... or the barrel of the black powder samurai of Vermont.
So all I'm saying is, if I'm dressed like a samurai from the transitionary period where gunpowder started coming in and I had the traditional dress, but also the Western firearms, if I go into the bar like that and I'm at the bathroom and I'm kind of struggling with the top half of my kimono and like I hit my gun and it goes off, bang! But there's nobody else in the bathroom.
Mm.
I am 100% doing what this person did, and I am doing up my kimono and swiftly exiting the venue.
I'm doing up my kimono, buttoning up my blue jeans, checking my top knot, putting my cowboy hat on, and I'm getting out of there.
Tucking my kimono into my Levi's. I love this guy.
Got a Cuban heel on those like wooden toe sandals.
Oh, beautiful sandals, but they're made out of crocodile. Oh boy, what a character this Lawrence Suplee is.
Racist somehow. Take it up with the guy that we invented in our minds.
Yeah. He's not real and you're mad at him?
Use versus mention.
That's right. We're just mentioning him. We aren't living like him, even though we want to.
I could if I wanted to, okay? No, look, in fairness, I would have to move to somewhere with open carry, like Vermont.
Yeah. And also, you need somewhere with open carry where you can also legally have a sword on you, which is not a lot of places in the US, I don't think.
Well, if you live somewhere, also, if you live somewhere that has open carry, it's going to make other people more comfortable to have someone with swords wandering around because they'll be like, well, you know, I've got my Glock. If that guy is, say, 15 feet away from me and makes me uncomfortable, I'll just pop him with my Glock.
You cannot carry a sword in Vermont.
Fuck! You can carry a gun. You cannot carry a gun. A sword is dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. Except with a switchblade with a blade 3 inches or longer. Maybe it's only switchblades that can't be long. Maybe you can have a sword.
Maybe you can only carry a switchblade, which is totally going to change my theoretical outfit and affectation.
Yeah, because now it's a greaser cowboy.
Greaser cowboy.
The worst kind of cowboy.
Oh, no. Here comes Tex Romanelli. Oh, no.
No, you can carry a... So...
No, I have to say,
you can carry a sword in Vermont. You can be.
Thank God, because I would really fundamentally disagree with allowing somebody to carry a firearm but not a sword.
Just not switchblades.
Okay.
Now, those are dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone could get hurt. Supley has been identified as the suspect by a debit or credit card he left at the bar without paying his tab.
Oh,
were you in a hurry? Forgot to pay your tab, did you, buddy? You left your card? Behind the bar,
look, it does. It does make it look like you if you walk out and leave your credit card there.
Yeah. Patrons also reported hearing the gunshot and seeing Supley exit the bathroom and then the building.
Just walking out of the bathroom, like, huh? Nothing.
Bye. You don't have to say goodbye to everyone. Just the bartender.
It would be a very good bit to come back out to the bartender, you know, smelling like gunpowder.
Yeah.
And there is piss around the front of your jeans. And you go, there was a weird loud bang in there.
Yeah. Anybody else hear that?
You should get that plumbing checked out.
You'll hear that bang.
You'll... Wait, he's the cowboy greaser. You'll hear that bang now, see?
Perfect greaser. 1920s greaser.
They had greases. Did they have greases in the 30s? No.
I think of greases later as being on. A very 40s and 50s right? kind of thing, yeah.
We got to get a handle on time, fellas.
We got to. He's just...
I've got to put up a big chart of periods for myself to
I think
focus
anything,
on.
Anything before 1970 is all the same.
And it's none of my business either. I wasn't around. How am I meant to know?
Yeah. Quote, I observed the hole in the wall from the bathroom that led into the kitchen, Officer Cody Evans wrote in the affidavit. On the kitchen side, I observed a hole that led to a dent into a piece of stainless steel that was in the kitchen that appeared to be from the bullet. There was then another hole on the opposite side of the bar where the bullet landed, and it appeared the bullet was still inside of the wall. The path of the bullet would have been very close to coming in contact with a staff member who was standing behind the bar.
Mm. Yeah, but he was in another room at the time. How are you meant to magically know who's on the other side of every wall? Like, ask yourself this question. Do I know who's on the other side of every wall that I see?
No. Unless his gun was that gun from Perfect Dark that could see through walls, which I doubt.
Or the gun from Eraser? Was the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. He had, like, the big, like, X-ray scope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Railgun. Or the gun from Red Faction, the first one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Unless it was one of those.
Yeah.
Owner Kate Barry told police she messaged Supley about the incident and he admitted he had a, quote, mechanical malfunction of firearm, according to the affidavit.
Honest, you were twirling at the urinal.
Yeah. Had a couple of drinks and you had a mechanical malfunction of firearm.
You were doing the you talking to me speech from Taxi Driver in the bathroom mirror.
Just to get your confidence back up for when you go outside to hang out with your friends. Yeah. You're feeling a little small in the group and you wanted to feel a little bigger, so you G'd yourself up.
You are the Vermont Gun Samurai. You are the Vermont Gun Samurai. You know,
everyone respects you.
Everybody loves you, and if they don't,
give them some of these.
Click.
That's you cocking back the gun.
Click.
Bang.
Oh,
shit.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Kate is going to be so mad at me. The owner of this bar who has my phone number.
Yeah, she did message him, hey.
My friend Kate is going to be so fucking mad. If you're friends with her and she's got your number, I feel like you're close enough that you could have, again, Buena Vista, the podcast that champions direct communication.
Mm-hmm.
You say, Kate, I got to be real with you. Kate, I popped a hole in the wall of your bathroom, and I'm very sorry that I came close to killing one of your staff. Can I get everyone a round of drinks?
Also, can I have my credit card back?
Yes, before the round of drinks.
I got to get out of here. I thought it was missing.
So I'm just looking up at the population of Brattleboro is, because I want to know like how much this is. Everyone knows who you
everybody
are.
Everybody in
you
town.
Did.
Yeah.
12,000 people in Brattleboro.
Oh, okay. Everybody knows that.
Everyone fucking knows. Like every yeah. single person knows what you did. Like there's a reason Kate was able to just message you. Police also interviewed Supley. He said he was pulling his pants down to sit on the toilet and he had his firearm holstered on his belt, according to the affidavit. Imagine that part of the news story that goes out about you is that you were shitting.
Yeah.
We have to be clear. He was pulling his pants right down around his ankles.
He was getting his ass out.
Yeah.
And he was pointing it at the toilet bowl.
Yep. Here's the thing,
to take
though,
a big dump out of his dookie anus.
Here's the thing, though. This is the rare situation where, because of the information they have divulged, you want people to think you were taking a shit. If the only detail that comes out was this man was pulling his pants down around his ankles, you want them to think you're shitting, not that that's how you stand at the urinal.
Yes.
I don't want people to think that's how I stand at the urinal, because I don't, okay?
No.
To be fair, make sure you put in the paper.
Make sure it says I was shitting.
Make sure it says I was shitting. Make sure it says I had to cut it off like a quarter of the way in because I was so startled by the gunfire.
And the body just sort of does that naturally, I think.
Yeah, but like once that happens, you can't get going again. So I had to skedaddle out of there, get to my home toilet real quick where I was comfortable, you know?
Supley stated that he pulled the holster out and then he bumped his arm off of the toilet paper holder and accidentally fired a bullet into the wall.
The trigger discipline is
the
pathetic.
Shitting klutz. You are a cloud, sir. Oh, I got startled by the toilet paper holder and I fired my gun. Bang. Plop.
I think, again, if this is the kind of thing that happens to you, I think you should know yourself well enough to say, I'm going to get one of them guns with a safety.
I need a heavier trigger draw.
Yeah.
Yes.
I need something where there's a little switch and I can go, it's killing time. Click. Not. And then when it's like, it's toilet time.
Yeah.
Whip,
S.
Back up the
S
other way.
S for shitting time.
Also, this is 11:22 p.m. on a Wednesday night.
3 to 4 beers in?
Yeah. Why do you have a gun at the bar at 11:22 p.m. on a Wednesday night?
That's
it's not even
carry.
A Friday or a Saturday. Why are you out past 11 on a Wednesday, for one? What are you fucking doing? Get a grip.
Might be a lonely person. Might be trying to get some validation on his outfit and how period correct people think the details are.
Yeah, the combination of various cultures
yeah.
and moments, subcultures.
Explaining, well, you have to understand that in the West, they did have the ability to make these. But the weaving techniques of Japan, my goodness.
It's perfectly understandable that they'd take the railroad to the West, head off from Los Angeles.
Here's how someone could have got all these things together. Sit down.
These dungarees are actually made out of washi, traditional Japanese paper.
Oh boy. Mr. Supley had to exit out of that bar after 3 to 4 beers on a Wednesday night, get into his convertible soft-top Jeep Wrangler, and go home. You know, probably shouldn't have been driving, but you can't tell that guy anything. Like, don't bring your swords and guns into the bar.
I'm pretty certain this man is getting into an R34 Skyline,
yeah.
But it has, like, one of those, like, it's got a cool oil painting of horses painted onto the side of it or something.
We could pioneer a whole new style of car modding here, Ben. East meets West. Yes. In all the worst ways.
Yeah. I think this is actually kind of dope. Quote, Supplee stated he did not know how it happened and he did not intentionally do it. He weren't just like firing off a shot while you were shitting for fun. Hey, I've had a couple of beers. I had a stressful day. I'm going to let off some steam. One pop. Pop.
Yeah, just one.
Yeah, I'm going to go crazy.
It might have almost killed a bartender, but it didn't.
Yeah. This is a precision instrument. This this Colt revolver has been made out of 1,000-fold steel.
Yeah, you could cut a tank in half with this. My Hattori Hanzo Colt revolver. Reckless endangerment carries a maximum penalty of 1 year in prison, a $1,000 fine, or both. Quote, as the owner of the Tower Bar and Lounge, it is my responsibility to keep everyone who works here and comes in as customer safe, Barry told the reformer, calling safety her number one priority. When Mr. Supplee made the decision to bring a loaded weapon into our establishment and discharge it in the bathroom, he made the negligent and irresponsible choice that led to a very serious situation. Barry said she and staff are so thankful no one got hurt. However, it is a miracle that no one got hurt. Do not let the like loose round shitter into your establishment.
Mm-mm.
If you see a guy in like samurai armor and a cowboy hat, do not let him inside your venue. Turn him away politely, but forcefully.
And like I gotta say, I feel for the Vermont samurai cowboys of the world. Because this place was like a second home to him.
Yeah. You know?
This was the place where everybody knew his name.
Yeah, this and Kyoto.
Yes. And
that's right.
And so for him, he has to live knowing that he doesn't get to see his friend, owner Kate Barry, anymore.
Yeah.
Doesn't get to see the other locals. Doesn't get to show anybody the new like handle that he's put on his katana. Anything like that. And the worst part of all is knowing that it really is all your own fault. Yes. You know? If there was some sort of injustice about it, then that's one thing. You could sit at home and go, boy, I was wronged. But in this situation, you got to say, I was sitting down on the shitter and I popped one off through the wall. No one to blame but myself.
Only one honorable course of action. For
Yes. Staff locking up for the night. They come out to the car park and what do they see?
Forgive me. Hey, this has definitely been an episode of the podcast Bunta Vista. If you like our wacky take on the weird and wonderful news from around the world, you can get the exact amount that you're currently getting by paying for this like you already
no more.
Do.
You can listen to it again. You can listen to it again if you want to.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know? You have platinum trophied the podcast.
Yeah. There is no more worlds left for you to conquer. Octagon, Lintel, Masterpiece, Gil, Joe Biden. If you haven't already bought tickets to the live show, I urge you to do so. Go on Skyscanner, check out what the flights are like around that time. You might find a deal, and you get to come to the beautiful Queensland subtropics. It's the weather in mid-June in Brisbane is outstanding. Crisp, sunny days, but a little bit chilly. You can layer up if you like that.
Yeah.
I don't, and I won't be, but other people take this opportunity to wear layers, add some extra textures and stuff into their look. Not for me. Other people do. You could have a little holiday, a little weekend getaway. Go to Felons. Have some beers on the Brisbane River. Go to Topgolf. Go to Victoria Park Mini Golf. Have a couple of Canadian Club premixes.
Yeah.
Do some mini golf.
See our new Metro charging station.
Haven't seen that one myself yet. I bet it's great. Yeah. Go to Queen Street Mall. Go to Harry's on the mall.
Hey, it's going to be so nice.
Jimmy's.
I'm even
going to
go.
Yeah, Andrew's thinking about coming. Lucy's thinking about coming. I reckon it's going to be crazy. Yeah, we'd love very much to see you there. It's going to be, it feels a bit choogy saying this word. I feel like it's going to be a bit of a party. We haven't had this big of like a Bunta Vista congregation.
Live
meetup,
event,
if you will.
It live, just might be epic.
It's at a brewery for a brewery that I really like, which is why we're doing it there, because they're my friends and the beer is really good. So if you like beer, you're going to the right place.
Like beer, me and Ben are going to play some records.
We're going to play some. Look, I think this is going to be a bit of a dick measuring contest. Two guys in peak form with beautiful record collections trying to do the nastiest, filthiest set they can.
Both on at the same time.
Yeah, dueling DJs. We're going to go track for track and ooh.
You'll have to, play the records, though. I don't know how to work the turntable.
Oh, I can't wait to show you. You're going to love it. You're going to get the bug. You're going to be like, maybe I could buy decks for home. You'll start thinking, what if I started like doing little sets when my friends came over?
Yeah, that's I'm not going to act like I've never had the thought.
It's the best. Once you get bitten, dude, ooh, you start thinking about shit you could do. What if I ran an effects loop out of this? What if I became a cumbia rebajada DJ? That was that my thing now. I'm doing chopped and screwed cumbia from South America. What if I became famous from that?
Well, I'm bringing my new Ragga record. It's called Ragga, Ragga, Ragga.
So definitely come check out that. And before that happens, there'll be a live episode of the podcast. It's going to be awesome. Buntavista.com/live, June 15th. That's in Brisbane, Queensland. Until then, please stay safe out there. I just want to know that, like, you're not taking any chances unless you're finding a lot of joy in taking those chances. But safety first, but chase your joy. That's what I want for you.
Chase your joy safely, folks.
It's not what I want for Theo. I want Theo to take zero chances.
Yes, safety first, second, and third.
Yeah, joy's not really on the cards. No. So let's stick with safety
play it
for
safe.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see you on the free episode. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Like a Japanese cowboy or a brother on skates, like a blizzard in Georgia or a train running late. I call out your name, girl, in the heat of the night, and nobody answers, 'cause something breakfast at Shawnee's at $2.99. Save me some money.